the sea, earth and heaven will all pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is vanished into eternal hell. No more night and no crying again, and we'll sing praises to the great I Am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there all the bow down. The only sound are the praises to Christ, our King. Slowly the names from the book are read. I know no need to dread, and no more night, and no more pain, no more tears, never crying again, and we'll sing praises to the great I Am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, it's a mansion prepared for me, where I shall live with my Savior eternally. And no more night, and no more pain, no more tears, never crying again, and we'll sing praises to the great I Am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. Yes, we will live in the light of the
day that will be. Amen. Today it's a privilege to have our missionary brother Gene Sharp with us. I think one of the best things that I can say about brother Gene is he's a real Christian. Had the opportunity to live with him a little while. He stayed at our home while working on projects here at Freeway Baptist Church for days on end. We've had the opportunity to have he and Benita and their children in our home. And what we have witnessed is that they love the Lord. They love His people. They love His work. There's nothing plastic or superficial about this family. They just have a passion to serve God. And I believe that one of the wisest investments of our missionary dollar that we make every month is to send a check to Gene and Benita Sharp to enable them to do the work that God has called them to do. Because of our investment in this missionary and his family, today there is a radio station in the heart of Baghdad, Iraq, broadcasting the gospel message 24 hours a day. Praise the Lord. And I think we can clap on that. And he has the opportunity now to go to the city of Mosul in Iraq and build another Christian radio station. And upon the license granted by the Iraqi government, it says they're granting the license to a Christian radio station to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to play Christian music. That is a miracle. It's a miracle. God's using him in Africa, in the Marshall Islands, in New Guinea, in the Philippines, in the Middle East, and all over America to be a blessing to others as he has been to us. Brother Sharp, we love you. You're part of this family. Amen. Come and share with us from God.
Thanks, preacher. An honor and a joy to be here, as always. And we say thank you. Your hospitality is always very humbling. And we're honored to be here. And the privilege is ours to be your missionaries and to be your representatives. And you send us to a lot of different places to carry the gospel. But I think I'll be pointing that out a little bit this morning. What a grand cooperation it is. We could not do what we do without you folks and your sacrifice and your love and your prayers. I hope you'll accept our thanks for all of these things. And thank you for all of the sound guys who showed up yesterday. We had a great meeting yesterday and going over some basics of sound. I gave them everything I knew, and it took me about 15 minutes. And so after that, we just kind of, you know, had some coffee and kept on going. But I thank the Lord for the sound guys, the folks in the media booth. I hope you'll pray for those folks. We were going over things yesterday, as I was studying to kind of, you know, share a couple things with those fellas, man, they carry a great responsibility with them, and they're not back there asking for accolades and things like that. Well, maybe Perry is a little bit, but they don't ask for attention. That's why they're in the back. They're in the back and they're serving the Lord, but it's very important the job that they do. And we've talked about on the internet what a valuable ministry you have here. On the internet with the video and the audio, literally tens of thousands of people have downloaded sermons that have taken place in this auditorium on a regular basis. Couldn't be done without those folks back there. Couldn't be done without, I know many of you sacrificially gave so that equipment could be purchased and without your vision. But pray for those guys who apply all of that knowledge and all of that equipment every single week, and that they apply that to ministry. And what a blessing. I hope you'll pray for those folks and those fellows and ladies back there. We sure appreciate them. And again, hope you pray for Pastor. We got a couple more days. He's probably like, oh no, we thought we were going to get rid of him after Sunday, and then we decided maybe we'll stay till Tuesday. And but we appreciate the hospitality of the chapels always. Appreciate their friendship. This morning I'm going to be speaking for just a few minutes on the topic of amazing grace. Amazing grace. And isn't it amazing how the Lord confirms some things in our hearts? The choral selection this morning was, there's no other word for grace but amazing. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd meet with us. Lord, we are sure grateful for your love for us and for how that you've met with us already, Lord, that the singing has been extraordinary. The fellowship has been sweet. And now, Lord, we're praying that the preaching of your word would be powerful and that it would work a work in our lives and in our hearts, a work for eternity's sake, a work for your honor and glory. Again, Lord, I pray that you'd just forgive me and cleanse me and fill me. Make me a vessel in your hand to deliver your message to your people this morning. We love you. We need you now. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I'm going to be speaking about amazing grace. Turn over real quick. I know it's not probably on the board. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and verse number 9. The Bible says here, for by grace are ye saved through faith, And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This morning we're talking about His amazing grace. His grace, sometimes when we think of grace, we think of this instance of grace in our life. The instance of saving grace. I'm so glad for the amazing grace that is His saving grace. God reaching down and rescuing me from the awful pit of sin. God reaching down and rescuing me through His grace and giving me a home in heaven. I'm so excited about His amazing grace this morning. Is there anybody else here that's received God's grace and you're excited about that this morning? If you're here this morning and you're really not sure what we're talking about being saved by His grace. Man makes an attempt to save his soul through works. But here the Bible clearly declares, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." If you're here this morning and you're trying to work your way to heaven, I want to tell you the good news. You can cease from your labor. Because the labor for your soul's salvation was accomplished on the cross of Calvary when Jesus Christ, God's Son, died in your place. He did all the work that was necessary to secure forgiveness of sin, to secure a home in heaven, to secure eternal life for you. That work was done when Jesus said on the cross of Calvary, "It is finished." He did that for you, my friend. He did that, thank God, for me. That is His grace on our behalf. And that's how we're saved, friend. It's through grace, by grace, through faith, plus or minus nothing. You can't add to God's grace. You can't diminish from His grace. The only way that we're saved, the only way to heaven is through God's grace. And the operative word there is faith. You have to believe in His grace. You have to believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross for your sin, was buried, and rose again 3 days later. If you believe that, my friend, this morning, if you will come to Him and confess your faith in His grace, you will be saved. I wonder, is there anybody here this morning who's never received that amazing grace? And I could preach all day long about that portion of amazing grace. But that's not my message. And I'm sure the people in the sound room are saying, "Wow, none of that was in his notes. Where did he come up with all that?" And that's not my message this morning. My message this morning isn't that portion of grace. But you know what? Sometimes that's what we think of when we say the word or hear the word grace. We think of God saving us. And you know, truly, in its purest sense, that is indeed grace. God giving us grace. What is grace? Grace is the power and the desire to do the will of God. You know, God is not willing that any should perish. So what do we need? We need the power and the desire to do His will. He's willing that we go to heaven. And He gives us His grace. That's the power and the desire to do the will of God. In that instance, the will of God is to go to heaven. The power and the desire to go to heaven, it comes from Him. But you know what? God doesn't take us to heaven upon the instance of salvation. When you come forward and receive Jesus Christ from heaven, it's not like, boom! There's a big bolt of lightning and we're ushered into God's presence. That's not how it works. It would be nice sometimes if that would happen. But He leaves us here. And while we're here, He's got a work for us to do. While we're here, He's got a plan for our life. And in the midst of that plan, in the midst of our responsibility to Him, we need His grace. That is, the power and the desire to do His will. We've got to have it. Talking to Christians, the apostles were always saying, "Grace be multiplied unto you." He's talking to people who are already saved. They already received that amazing grace. They were already saved by grace through faith. What did they need grace for? They needed grace for living. They needed grace for giving. And that's what we're talking about this morning. A special kind of grace. Look over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit says, "Moreover, brethren," verse 1, "we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." And he goes to talk about what the churches of Macedonia did because of God's grace on their life. God gave these folks a special measure of grace. What did he do, Brother Sharp? What did they do with that grace of God? What special work did they work? What amazing feat did they accomplish because God's grace was upon them? The amazing thing that they accomplished was they gave to the work of the Lord. And it was a special grace that the Apostle Paul said, "I want you to know about this grace. This is something worth taking note about. the grace of giving. You know, it's very important that it boils down to this. And sometimes it's uncomfortable when we talk about giving, we talk about money, but you know, it really shouldn't be. It shouldn't be uncomfortable at all to talk about this, because you know what? Missions conference without talking about this aspect of missions is like a pep rally with no game afterward. We can get excited about lost souls. We can get excited about reaching people with the gospel. We can say amen and get under a burden when we see pictures of children in Africa who, you know, their parents are dying of AIDS and time is short and they're uncertain about eternity. We can get excited about reaching those people. But unless it comes down to us making a sacrifice to make it happen, it'll do us no good. It's like we might as well go home and say, well, we had a pep rally. We got all excited about it. But my friend, we have got to put our hand to the plow. We've got to put our determination and our very effort and our very life into the cause of world evangelization. And guess what? It costs to preach the gospel. I just went to Liberia. You know what my plane ticket was? I went to Liberia and back. $3,000 was my plane ticket. And you know what? I know people all over the place. Missionaries is a family of six friends of ours. They're missionaries in Uganda. And if a child's out of their lap, it's the same full price. So you're talking $18,000 for them to fly to Uganda and back. There's a cost involved with sharing the gospel. And it would behoove us well to get under the burden and help carry the load and help get the gospel out. This morning, I've got a couple of points about this amazing grace to bring to your attention this morning. Number one, it's about giving. And let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just a page over. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Here the apostle writes, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." In other words, the church at Corinth said, "We're going to give an offering. We're going to do something special for the cause of getting the gospel out." And the thing I want to point out to you is, giving affects the reputation of the church. Giving affects the reputation of the church. He said, "Listen, you guys promised an offering." The church at Corinth said, "Listen, we're going to give an offering." And the apostles started telling other people, "Man, they're going to give an offering." And the people said, "No way, they're going to give an offering? We want to give an offering." And other people said, "Wow, Corinth can do it? We can do it." He says, "Your zeal hath provoked very many." People were inspired to get involved. People were inspired to give because this church was a giving church. Their reputation was based on a portion of whether they gave or not. My friends, it's important for us as a church here at Freeway Baptist Church to be a generous and a giving church. And thank the Lord, my testimony, my experience is that is your reputation. But I want to say, you know what, that could change. We could say, this year, gas prices are high. Things are tight. My retirement isn't exactly what I had planned it to be. And we can begin to cut back and go in reverse when it comes to the area of giving. And you know what? I would try to challenge you this morning. Let's keep the reputation of Freeway Baptist Church as it should be. A reputation of being generous. A reputation of being a giving church. A reputation that glorifies God and inspires others. I tell you what, there's a testimony of a church that I've been talking to pastors about it quite a bit. And you know, when you're around us and we're talking about missions, this church always comes up. It's Capital City Baptist Church, Austin, Texas. And from other churches to missionaries, this church has a zeal that provokes others to action. This church is about 250 people, and they give about $300,000 a year to missions every single year. And you start doing the math per capita, that's a lot of money that church has given to missions. And I can't tell you how many souls have been saved as a result of the zeal, as a result of the giving of the Capital City Baptist Church. What a blessing. I mean, I've been all halfway around the world, and people say, "Oh, have you ever been to Capital City? Man, those folks are blessing us. We were building a building, and they took an offering and sent $18,000 for it." And the list goes on and on of people that have been blessed, of rejoicing that has taken place. And their reputation has been formed because of their generosity. This morning, I'd like to submit to you that giving affects our reputation as a church. Secondly, giving affects the reaping of the Christian. Giving affects the reaping of the Christian. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Talking again about giving and giving to the work of the Lord. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And that's good news, isn't it? It affects the reaping of the Christian. The thing about sowing and reaping is you always reap in direct correlation to the amount and the proportion in which you sow. And if we're going to reap a lot, we're going to have to sow a lot. And if we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. Giving is something that has to be done a certain way, has to be done under certain guidelines. And you know what? This passage of Scripture helps describe that to us. Let's look in verse 7 and verse 8. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Talking about giving now, there's a qualification. You got to give, and you got to give the right way. So who's qualified to give? We're going to find out right now. Who is qualified to give? Ready? Verse 7, every man. That was hard. I passed the test on that one. Woo! I was hoping I could get to do it. Here it is. Every man. The Bible says, you know what? If you're breathing, you're a candidate for giving to the work of the Lord. If you're alive, if God has saved your soul, if you're heaven bound, you have the wonderful privilege to be a candidate, to be a giver to the Lord's work. You've passed the test. Isn't that good? Boy, tests always kind of get me nervous. I was coming up to the edge there. I was getting a little scared, but I passed the test. I'm qualified to be a giver. Every man, the qualification is very simple. You have no cop-out this morning. You can't say, well, I don't have a lot of money like Brother so-and-so. No. You can't say that. Every man. You know, we can have excuse, we can all find excuse to not give. But the Bible says every man. We could all say times are tough. We're all living in the same country. We're all pulling up to the same gas pumps. We're all getting the same horrible fuel economy. Amen? We could all find excuse, but the Bible says every man. Brother Sharp, you're meddling now. I can get into the whole thing with looking at the pictures and seeing the need, but now we're going to paying for this thing? I mean, you're going to meddling. Can't we just be inspired about world evangelization? Can't we just leave it there? No, every man. Every man. The qualification includes me and it includes you. And you know what? The beautiful part about that is it does include me. Missionaries are to be givers too. You know, some of the best givers to world evangelization, some of the best tithe and offering givers are missionaries that I know. I know some missionary friends of mine, they give close to $1,000 a month to missions. Now that's not they give it and then, you know, they're giving in their own ministry. Like, I'm giving to missions, I'm going to buy my plane ticket. No. They write out a check for $1,000 and give it to their church every month. So their church can send the gospel not only to where they're going in Africa, but also to the Philippines and Australia. It's every man. It's not just for the church staff. It's not just for Brother Bert. It's for everybody. It's not just for the deacons. It's for everybody, this idea, this grace of giving. You know what? If we keep that in mind, it is indeed a grace. It takes the pressure off of us. Because if it's of grace, it's not of my pocketbook. If it's of grace, it's not according to my ability, it's according to His ability. This idea of grace giving. The qualification is every man, and let's look now at the motivation. The motivation is rooted in your heart. And here's the good news. It's not from pressure placed by this pulpit. The motivation to give to the work of the Lord, I'm not talking about tithe, I'm talking about an offering for missions. I'm talking about an offering to push the work of the Lord forward, to facilitate the preaching of God's Word here and abroad. This offering is not to be motivated by pressure received from here. Every man as he purposeth in his heart. Your giving to world evangelization is a matter of your heart. Your giving is not a matter of responding or performing in accordance to the pressure placed on you by a missionary. It's a heart matter this morning. Why do we show pictures? Well, one of the reasons is mine eye affecteth my heart. We want your heart to be in tune with the need of the world. We want your heart to see the need. But my friend, this morning, if it's not in your heart, don't give. But I challenge you, if it is in your heart, to give. I want you to be honest with your heart and look in your heart and say, God, what would you have me to do? And have a little heart talk this morning. Have a little heart talk every single Sunday morning when it comes time to give. Every single time a missionary comes through and gives his presentation, we need to let our heart speak to us and purpose in our heart what we're going to do. Now, God doesn't give us a dollar amount here. He does say every man has to console with his heart, though. You don't have to give $1,000, but you have to look into your heart and ask, how much should I give? God may say 50 cents, or He may say $10,000. And I submit to you, if you're supposed to be giving $1,000 and you're only giving 50 cents, heavy hang on your head. But if you're supposed to be giving 50 cents and you're trying to give $1,000, heavy hang on your head. We need to find out what God has put in our heart and obey that. The motivation for giving to the work of the Lord is a heart issue. It's an issue of your heart. C.S. Lewis said this, "I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare." In other words, if our expenditure on comforts, luxuries, amusements, etc. is up to the standard common among those with the same income in our own, we probably are giving way too little. If our charities do not pinch or hamper us, I should say they are too small. There ought to be some things that we would like to do and cannot because of our charitable expenditures excludes them. In other words, he says, you know what? As a general rule, I've looked into my heart and I'm not sure if I can determine an exact amount, an exact specific dollar amount, but I know if it's not hurting me a little bit, it's probably not enough. I know if I look at my finances and say, you know what, I would like to purchase this automobile, but I can't quite because we're given. So, then you're probably on the right track. I wonder, when we give, does it come to a point where it's a little bit uncomfortable? I wonder, is it a little bit sacrificial? Do you think maybe we could sacrifice just a little bit for the one who gave his life for us? Do you think we could sacrifice just a little bit, maybe some inconvenience in our life? Maybe we could sacrifice some luxury just a little bit. Maybe not get that option on the car just to say, you know what, I'm going to give that to the work of the Lord. We need to challenge ourselves and take ourselves to the next level. And again, this challenge doesn't come from me. It comes from your heart. Let your heart speak to you. And let your heart determine by God's grace to purpose in your heart, in the seat of your emotion, in the seat of your affection, that I'm going to give, and then how much you're going to give. The qualification is every man. The motivation is from your heart. And then, let's not forget the activation. Look in verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. A lot of times we make determinations and decisions, and we never end up giving. Have you ever, I've done this, I've seen somebody have a need, and God say, you know what, you ought to give that person a $20 bill. Just slip it in, put it under the windshield wiper, do something. And there's been times I haven't done it. I forgot, I got busy, or I just said, no, that's not now. I need that $20. No, they don't need it, I need it. No, and there have been times God in my heart has spoken to my heart, and I've purposed in my heart, but I didn't give. You know what, it's really natural if you do purpose in your heart to go ahead and give. He said, just let it happen. Let him give. You just let it happen. You just let it come out. Let the giving happen. Friends, don't bottle up God's grace on your behalf. God has given us gifts, and He's given us gifts for a purpose. And those purposes are to be determined by the preaching of the gospel and getting the gospel to every man. The activation of giving is so let him give. I remember when I was in high school, Randy Starr, he was our youth director and he was our youth leader and he was also our principal when I went to the Christian school. And he said, this ought to be our manner of life as a Christian. And I've never forgotten it. He said, we need to get from God. We receive from Him. We take it and we distribute it. Then I won't have anything. Then we get from God and we distribute it. And then we get from God and we distribute it. And the problem is sometimes we do this. We get from God, put it down here. Get away from there. Then we want, give me some more. Put it here. Get away from there. And instead of receiving and giving, receiving and distributing, we're receiving and hoarding. I'm not saying you don't take the money God's given you and pay your house payment, folks. I'm just saying we are to be a distributor of God's blessing. And you know what? Sometimes we don't want to give because we're afraid. We're afraid that when we give, well, we don't have anything else. But you know what? That may just drive us to our knees. That may just cause us to have to depend on Him. Wouldn't that be awful if we had to depend on the Lord? Wouldn't that be, just a shock if we had to maybe pray and get God to meet our financial need for this month? My friend, it wouldn't be a challenge at all. It would just be the way we should be. We should be depending on Him. Whether we've got a great job that brings us thousands and thousands of dollars, or whether we're out of work, or whether we're disabled, or whether we're elderly, either way, we ought to be depending on Him. I wonder, do you have the grace of giving? You're qualified, my friend, every man. We should be motivated from our heart, and then we should be activated. And then once we realize the qualification, the motivation, and the activation, then we'll get to see an amazing thing called provision. We'll get to see God provide for us in a very special way. Look in verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. And again, how are we supposed to be giving? Again, because preacher says we're supposed to give. I don't want to give, but here it is. Anyway, take it. I don't want it. No. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Don't get uncomfortable this morning. I'm not telling you have to give. But is your heart? That's the question you have to answer. But not grudgingly or of necessity, for I'll tell you the type of giver God likes. God loveth a cheerful giver. One that's really happy and doing and obeying what he knows in his heart of hearts he's supposed to be doing. I'm telling you what, offering time ought to be, you ought to look forward to the offering every single week. Because that's an opportunity for you to show God your faithfulness by giving your tithe that belongs to Him, and showing Him your love that is your offering every week. And say, you know what? Here's something over and above my tithe. Preacher, I want to give to support this. Boy, preacher, do we need something new in the video booth? I want to give for that. Preacher, do we need new tires in the van? I want to give to that. Preacher, do we need to, is there a special missions project? I want to give to that. I want to give for the young people to go to camp. I want to give. Coming from your heart, happy, not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Is that your testimony? Have you had that grace on your life? It's God working in you to perform that. And when that happens, something special happens. It's called provision. God will miraculously provide for your need. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, verse 7, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Boy, there's a lot of alls and everys in that verse. And that all and every promise verse is for those people who by God's grace have determined in their heart to be a cheerful giver to the work of the Lord. He said, listen, you're not going to lack. He says, it's not like you're going to determine something in your heart and you're going to give it and then you're going to be in the poorhouse. Boy, you're going to be suffering now because you've been giving way too much to them missionaries. Telling you what, you're hurting now. No, God says it's not going to happen. You're not going to lack. You're going to be sufficient to every good work. You'll be able to continue working for Him. You'll be able to continue in what He's called you to do. I challenge you. I challenge you this morning. Take God at His word. And if there's something in your heart that God has placed there to do for His work, do it, and you'll see that God is able. God is able. I am not. But God is able. If I look into my wallet and I look there and then I look at my bills that are stacking up over here in the pile, I am not able. But God is. And He is able to give grace and give all sufficiency so that you will abound in every good work. He's able. Our needs are then met according to, not according to our ability, but His. Inexhaustible grace can be ours. Abundant grace aimed at us who are giving by our own free will. This grace is aimed at us, thus enabling us to have adequacy beyond ourselves for His work. The good news is, friend, God's grace is available to you. Look over in Philippians chapter 4 real quick. Philippians chapter 4. We all like this verse. We all quote this verse. It's a great promise verse. Philippians 4, 19. Many could quote it. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad that God will supply your need? Do you know who He was talking to here? In the book of Philippians, He's talking to people who made an offering to the missionary. He's talking to people who out of their poverty gave to the work of the Lord. And to those people, He told, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Sometimes what we like to do is we like to spend all of our money on ourselves, get ourselves in debt up to our eyeballs, and then come claim this verse. And the whole time, we're not giving to the work of the Lord. Friend, this promise is for those who have in their heart purposed to give and have given cheerfully. And God says to those folks, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Man, look at what the standard is. The standard isn't the standard of living. The standard isn't what the minimum wage is. The standard is according to His standard, according to how much He has. And the good news is His bank account has got more zeros in it than we can count. God's riches in glory are inexhaustible. They're inconceivable. We can't even count them. And it's according to that treasury. It's according to that bank account that God says, what do you need? How much? Who should I make that payable to? What was that? Well, let's put a little extra in there. It's Him and His bank account that provides for us when we are involved like these folks that Paul's talking about in Philippi. For even in Thessalonica, verse 16, He sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but a desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. He's talking about the offering they sent. I got it. He says, I got it. I am full. They gave an abundant offering, a generous offering, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. He says, you know what that was? That was an odor of a sweet smell. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You know, I'd like to make God happy with my life. I'd like to have the Lord say, you know what? He's my servant, and I'm pleased. Oh, that pleases me well. And this is like an offering in the Old Testament, like an offering of incense that God reaches down over the portals of heaven and says, you know what? Boy, I like that. Not that we're making ourselves deserving of God's blessings, not that we are earning anything in God's sight, but right here it says it's an odor of sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. God is happy when we're giving to the work of God. He's happy, and He says, you know what? I'm not going to let that person suffer. I'm not going to let that person go without having the ability to live. I'm going to bless that person with provision. Giving affects the reputation of this church. Giving affects the reaping of the Christian. And lastly this morning, giving affects the rejoicing of the Christian. Giving affects the rejoicing of the Christian. You know, your pastor was pretty happy this morning when he was recounting some of the things that the Lord has done, like the station in Baghdad, New Testament Baptist Radio, and about what the Lord is doing and about how the gospel's going forward in a Muslim country. He was pretty happy about that, wasn't he? He's happy because he's a part of it. He's happy because he and you have given to make it a reality. His joy and his rejoicing occurred because he's a part of our ministry. You know, if I was here today for the very first time, you guys didn't support us, you never met Gene Sharp before, and here I am on a Sunday morning in a missions conference, and you guys would be like, well, that's really neat, they were in Baghdad. Now, that's really cool. Maybe we should be a part of that. But you wouldn't have nearly the rejoicing that you do this morning, because this morning you're a part of it. People today are hearing the gospel in Baghdad, Iraq, because of you and your gift this morning. Your giving is a cause for rejoicing. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. Oh, just hang on. The preacher's almost done talking about money. We're almost done. Well, a few more minutes, preacher. And we're almost done here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look in verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service, talking about their giving and the God's grace working through them, the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, it says, it not only meets the need of the missionary, it not only helps plant the church in Zimbabwe, but it is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. He says, not only does it meet the need of those people in Africa and the Philippines, but it helps a whole lot of people say, thank God. Your gift helps people praise the Lord. Your gift inspires praises to God. I think he's probably pretty happy about that. And verse 13, while the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Again, they glorify God because they distributed, because they went like this, because they went like this. People are saying, amen, preacher, preacher. People are saying, thank you, Lord. People are saying, look what God is doing. God is getting the glory. People are rejoicing. Verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. He says, they love you. He said, they love you for what you're doing for the cause of Christ. And they long for you because of God's grace in you, because you're a cheerful giver, because you purposed in your heart and gave not grudgingly or necessity. Verse 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Our giving is so much more than us putting some money in a plate and saying, boy, I really could have used that for something else. Our giving is so much more than somebody counting it and sticking it in a bank account and us never ever hearing from it again. Our giving can inspire praise to God Almighty around the world. Our giving can glorify God. Our giving can literally save people's souls from an eternal lake of fire. Do you see how important our giving is? It's important this week to get excited about world evangelization. It's important. It's so very important for us to get under the burden again of reaching Phoenix for the Lord Jesus Christ, of helping plant churches not only in Arizona but in California and around the United States. It's important for us to see the need and get excited about the plans and goals of missionaries around the world, about putting radio stations from Zimbabwe all the way over to the Philippines, all the way to India, and millions of people hearing the gospel. It's exciting for us to hear about that. But we this week have got to determine we're going to be a part of it. Not just an audience, not just a spectator, but a participant in this cause of world evangelization. And it starts with you in your heart saying, God, I'm part of every man. God, I think I'm qualified. God, what would you have me to give? God, I'm a part of this. I'm a part of this whole thing. I've seen the need. Now I'm responsible to do something about it. God, what would you have me to give? And purpose in your heart what you think He wants you to give. Maybe even challenge yourself. Go out on a limb. Say, God, you know what? I think last year I was given maybe a week. Maybe you give weekly. I don't know how you give, but maybe you give $15 a week and say, you know, this week, God, this year, God, I'm going to go 25. God, I don't have it, but I'm going to see you meet my need. Go out on a limb, purpose in your heart, and cheerfully, not grudgingly, not of necessity, but cheerfully, take God at His word. Respond to the cause. Respond to the need at hand. And give to the work of the Lord. And you will see His provision as you've never seen it before. And you will change the reputation of this church in an even greater fashion. And you will see praises and thanksgiving abound to God in a great way. You know, it's great for us to be able to sing a song and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And I personally, individually, have just praised the Lord. But how much better is it for me not only to sing personally, but then to, by my action, inspire somebody else to do the same thing? And pretty soon, across the globe, you've created your own choir, all singing the same thing. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. They've seen what you've given. They've seen what you've done. And now they're over halfway across the world in Australia going, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And you can inspire literally hundreds and thousands to praise the Lord. You can multiply the magnification of the Savior. All through taking out your wallet because of a decision you made in your heart and giving to the work of the Lord. Again, don't be mad at the preacher this morning. He's a lot of verses. It's all right here. And again, it's not of necessity. Don't do it grudgingly. Because God loves a cheerful giver. But if you take God at His Word, we showed you this morning from the Word. If you take God at His Word, you'll see God work in a miraculous way. And you'll be glad you did. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Lord, if there's those here this morning that have never received His amazing grace for the very first time, I pray that today would be the day, that this morning would be the morning that they would receive You as personal Savior. And Lord, if there's someone here today that says, you know what, God's been working in my heart. I didn't really make the decision yet, but this morning I'm going to make the decision. This is what God wants me to do. This is a special offering. This is a regular offering. This is something that God has for me to do. Lord, if that's Your will this morning in somebody's heart, I pray that they'd obey. And I pray that You'd bless them real good. I pray that people would praise the Lord because of their decision. And I pray that Your work would go forward. And I pray that they would see You provide for them in a miraculous way. Lord, we love You this morning. You've been so good to us. Lord, Your grace is absolutely amazing. I pray that You'd continue to meet with us now. Bless the altar service in Jesus' name.